Actually, I made this. You know, I often think, you know, what would it be like to walk around? I watch the old movies and have the balls and chains, and I wonder what it'd be like to walk around in something like this all day long, your whole life. Well, one of our high school students, a young man, actually got to find out, because I made this as a teaching aid for one of my high school students, actually for the whole high school team. But I kept it behind the screen there, behind that curtain, and I'm up here teaching, and I said, you know what? I would love one of you young men, and I picked him out, the most athletic kid in the group. I said, I want to race you around the worship center. And he's like, oh, I'm all on. I'm going to whoop you, Pastor Rich. And so I said, one lap, because that's all this old man's got is one lap. And so we're standing there, and I go, on the mark, get set, stop. And he's like, I went back, and I got the ball and chain. I brought it out, and I chained it to his ankle, and I said, you still think you're going to beat me? He said, oh, yeah. And I loved his enthusiasm. So we said, on the mark, get set, go. And I take off running. And I'm like halfway up that aisle right there, and he's tangled up in these chairs. I'm over here on this corner, and he's just getting untangled, and I'm finishing, and he's tangled in those chairs back there. And I called him up. He finally just picks the ball up and walks up here to the front, and he says, I said, well, what happened? You said you're going to beat me. He says, well, that wasn't a fair race, Pastor Ridge. He said, well, I said, well, explain. He says, well, it slowed me down. It tied me up. It tangled me up. It actually was hurting my ankle a little bit. And I'm like, guys, I believe that there is a ball and chain that we have attached to our ankles. Many of us have attached to our ankles that we don't even realize we have. In fact, we don't realize it because it's a good thing. It's something that's necessary. It's something that we use every day. And so we don't see how Satan has used it to tie us up. I'm talking about money. I took some time during our first week of, or second week of this series, Breaking Chains. We had some crosses up here, and people came and nailed papers to the crosses saying, these are the things we want to leave behind. These are the chains that we want broken in our life. And you're going to be surprised to hear that right up there in the top 10 with drug abuse, with pornography, sex addictions, broken marriages, was money. And I totally get the draw of money. Early on in our marriage, my wife and I had to actually twist her arm for this. I had the money for it, but it wasn't in the budget. But I went and I bought, being a man, I bought myself a boat. And I was like, woo, yeah, right? I bought myself a boat. I spent $800 on a boat and a trailer. So you can imagine what it looked like. It was a big 20-foot V-haul with this monster motor on it. When you hit the motor, the whole front end would like come up like it was going to flip you. And we took it out to the South Bay, and we couldn't even get it in because it wasn't made for shallow water. We were so disappointed. So we had to do our maiden voyage in the channel. And we said, well, let's make a fishing trip out of it. So my business partner and I, we decided that we would camp out there and just fish all night. Around 2 o'clock, we were really tired, so we laid out our sleeping bags, and we crawled in, and we spent the night waiting till the sun would come up to do some more fishing. And when we got up in the morning, the boat was sunk. The boat was sunk. It had leaks in it. It didn't just have one leak. It had like 4 or 5 leaks. They were under the seat, and we never knew. That boat was a ball and chain on my life. I was so happy to get rid of that. We sold it for a third of what we bought it for, and in a matter of less than a year, I was so glad. That was such a poor investment. It was such a waste of money. I think we've all been there. We've all made some poor choices. You see, money is beautiful and dangerous at the same time. With money, we can pay off debt, or we can go into debt. With money, we can create happiness. It makes us feel good, or it can create feelings of greed and envy. Money helps us prepare for the future, or it can help us become hoarders. Money allows us to take advantages of opportunities that are once in a lifetime and are worth taking advantage of, or it can cause us to miss opportunities. We get so busy earning money that we miss the opportunity to spend time with our loved ones, our wives, our children. There's this love-hate relationship with money. It can cause our careers to advance because we're pursuing that higher position, or it can cause us to walk all over those people under us to get to the top. And an unhealthy view of money can also do something greater than that. It can create generational chains. Grandma bought that scratch-off lottery ticket, so Dad did, and so will I. My kids probably will too. Our parents maxed out their credit card and they seemed to be doing fine, so we'll probably max out our credit cards too. We don't want, you know, and this may feel like a good motive, we don't want our children to lack what we lacked at their age. So we want them to have everything. And we get them everything. And we end up raising up an entitled generation who doesn't know what it means to have a daddy at home. He's always at work. The unhealthy pursuit of money creates generational chains and has the potential to creep into every one of our lives. None of us are free from this. Even if we pay off our credit card every month, even if we keep a perfectly balanced bank account, money can affect us deeply. I want you to look at this phrase. The unhealthy love of money has the potential to control me, enslave me, and keep me in bondage. The very first step to getting free is understanding that money isn't just a problem everybody else has, but it is a potential problem for me, and it may already be, and I don't even know it. Understanding and believing that that statement is true for me is the first step to escaping money's chains. Listen to what the Bible says. It says the love of money, that's the unhealthy bondage to money, is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith, and they've pierced themselves with many sorrows. God does not want that for his children. He doesn't. He wants us to break free. And it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth every moment of it. There's nothing like being free from the love of money. But how do we keep those chains off? Because like I said, money is a good thing. Money is necessary. Money is needed. And so our tendency is, because of all those things, we go right back into bondage. How do we keep the chains off? I want to share a few things this morning that have helped Maria Mia, my wife, and I keep the chains off. And please hear me on this. We are not perfect. We're still walking this walk with you guys. We're learning how to, I'm 64 years old, and I'm learning how to manage my money better, even today. This message is as much for me as it is for anyone. So you ready? We're about to break some chains. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Turn to someone and say, we're breaking chains today. All right. Here is the first step. This is the first step we took, and it really changed us. Break the chains of selfishness by practicing generosity. You see, since money has the potential to make us greedy and selfish, we have to do the opposite. We must practice generosity. Listen to what the Bible says. Quit being so full of yourselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Instead, go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. Do good. Be rich in helping others. Be extravagantly, what's it say?
Generous.
Yes, underline that. Be extravagantly generous. If you do that, you'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. I believe that practicing generosity shoots an arrow in the very heart of Satan. The Bible says that Satan's plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. All he wants to do is pull it toward him. He wants to take from us. So when we do the opposite, when we give, we disable Satan's plans. We set ourselves up for blessings, the blessings that are described in that verses, those verses, a truly treasured life. I believe that being generous is one of the greatest ways to break generational chains. My grandma and grandpa, on my dad's side, weren't the most generous people. But my dad was. He decided he was going to break those chains. My dad died about 7 years ago. And we went to the funeral, and it was heavy. It was a heavy, sad time. But we did something different after the funeral. We had a community, like, potluck. And it was just people who knew my dad, friends and family. And there was probably about 100 people there. And we did open mic. They say, don't do that at a funeral. But we did an open mic, and I couldn't believe it. Person after person after person stepped up to the mic and spoke of my dad's generosity. There was a homeless lady who had been on the street. She wasn't anymore, and she said how my dad had bought her a meal and took her back to her mom and dad. There's another lady who stood up and said, he paid my electric bill. There's another man who said he paid for repairs on his car. And there were a lot of these little stories. And then there was this guy who comes up, this burly old farmer, and he says, I had a bad year 1 year. The crops didn't come in. I wasn't going to be able to pay off my loan to the bank because I would borrow money in order to plant. And I knew I was in trouble, and I went to your dad, and he paid off my loan. And he said, I went to him later and said, hey, here's the money. I want to pay you back. And he said, what? My dad said, what? He said, that wasn't a loan. That was a gift. I knew my dad was generous, but I didn't know he was that generous. And so as I heard these stories, there's something moving in my heart. And I know this is my brother's as well. And something happened in us that said, hey, this is something that we want to repeat. We want to become generous. And so we started practicing that. So what does that look like? Because some of us, if we are going to be generous, we're thinking, okay, we're going to give away money that we do not have. And if we do that, that's going right back and we're putting ourselves in chains again. So I think we need to start out a whole lot smaller than that. Let's start out with a generous attitude. Let's start by being generous with our words. Do you know how much your positive words of encouragement mean to your children, your coworkers? Let your words be nuggets of gold that they just cling to and treasure and hold on to for the rest of their lives. It doesn't have to be generosity in money. It can be generosity in spirit. It's understanding I will be generous with my words. Maybe you need to be generous with your time. You get up in the morning, you're rushing to work, always late, and on the way you see that elderly couple who are sitting alone on the porch and they just look lonely. You never see a car coming in to visit them. Maybe it's stopping in, maybe it's getting up earlier, and stopping in and bringing them a cup of coffee and just talking with them. Be generous with your time. Maybe you know that there's someone in the church family who's in the hospital and needs a visit. Be generous with your time. Go visit them in the hospital. The Bible tells us to do that. Or maybe you notice that your neighbor's grass is getting 2 feet long, and you're like, he can't cut it. Maybe his lawnmower is broken. And you go and cut, you take the time and you go and cut that lawn for him. Be generous with your time. Here's another thing you can be generous with. Be generous with something you can give away. Maria, my wife, grew up very poor. They didn't have a lot to give away. In fact, oftentimes they didn't know if they were going to have meals for the six of them. But one time, a young man knocks on the door of their house as they're preparing a meal, and they open it, and he says, I'm hungry. Could you spare some food? So Maria's mom, who had a generous spirit, took those six plates and divided them into seven and gave one to this young man. Being generous doesn't have to always be about money. There's so much more. God is after our hearts. But don't stop there. Don't stop there, because when you can afford to, because you will be able to afford to, you're going to be able to afford to actually give money to people who need. Because as you're generous, God blesses you and you're able to be able to do more. So I want you to get prepared for that. Purposely plan to be generous. This means that you take and add a line in a spending line in your budget. Maria and I have this. We call it hilarious giving, because it just makes us happy. This is above and beyond the tithe. The tithe goes to our church, but this money, this hilarious giving, we notice people in need and we go and help. And it feels so good. I want to challenge you guys to do something. Wake up in the morning and say, God, bring somebody in my path who needs my help. He'll do that. Maria and I do that often. One Wednesday night, I was here about ready to teach, and one of my leaders came in and said, hey, there's a drunk in the parking lot. Could you go talk to him? He's kind of becoming a nuisance. And so I walked out, and man, he was plastered. But what I noticed, beside the fact that he's staggering around, is that he's barefoot. And his feet were nasty. And I heard something in the back of my head that I believe was the Holy Spirit that said, give him your shoes. And I'm like, God? I don't think I heard you correctly. I literally had just bought those shoes the week before. They were my favorite, Sanuks. And I'm like, God, I don't think I heard you correctly. And he said, give him your shoes. And I'm like, okay, God, here goes. And I take off my shoes and I hand them to him. And he just stands there. He has his hands on him. He's just standing there and he's shocked. He took the shoes. He put them on. Perfect fit. He walks across Price Road and he's standing over there in Wellington Office Plaza. And he's just, I'm watching him and he's just going. He was so happy. And it felt so good to me. Something happened in my heart at that moment. I realized that I've been holding too tightly to money, and that simple act of generosity helped me to release my grip. Practice being generous. Your generosity will be rewarded. Break the chains by practicing generosity. And then take it a step farther. Break the chains of comparison by practicing being content. Contentment is being happy with what I have, where I'm at right now. It's not always longing for more. I'm content with what I have, where I am right now. I want you to listen to Paul's words from the Bible. He says, I have learned to be, what's that next word? Content. Underline that. Content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or with an empty one. I've learned to be content with plenty or little. Nowadays, it's hard to be content. Social media has it in for us. We always feel like we need things. And I get that. I go onto social media with my wife in the evening. We watch Instagram together. And as we're looking over it, I see Jose eating that medium rare steak from Texas Roadhouse while I'm eating a bowl of Cheerios in my fat-free milk. And I want that steak. I want that steak. Or I see Sally with that perfect selfie pose holding her new iWatch. And I want that iWatch. I don't even know how it works. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know how to turn it on, but I want that watch. Or that young couple with a 2024 Bronco. Whoo, they're standing in front of, they got the keys in their hand, and I'm like, putting my second can of power steering fluid into my car. I want that Bronco. I totally get the pool. I understand this. It's hard not to be tempted to want more when we see those things. I mean, all I need to do is pull out my credit card and cha-ching, I got it. Friends, that's no way to live. We're breaking chains this morning. What happens when I find myself comparing myself to someone else, my life to someone else, my marriage to someone else? I find that I become depressed, discouraged, anxious, and in debt. Comparison is no way to live. Before I started comparing, I was free from those chains. And as soon as I started comparing myself to people, I'm putting those chains right back on again. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be, what's that next word? Content. Underline it again. Content. Man, it even sounds good. Be content. Be content with what you have, for God has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You see, when we practice contentment wherever God has us, it shows that we trust God to handle the future. And He will. He absolutely will. One of my favorite verses is a verse that Jesus, these are words that came out of Jesus' lips. He said, God cares so wonderfully about those wildflowers, and they're here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow. They won't last. He will certainly, certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Please hear me. It's not wrong to work hard and make good money. Honest money, honestly earned money, is a gift from God. But only if we're able to earn money with an attitude of contentment, not longing for more. Contentment is so very freeing. Practice being content. It may mean you have to get off of the social media stuff. We do this by thanking God for what I already have right now without fixating on more. And then, this one's going to be hard. This is where I'm stepping on my own toes here. Break the chains of laziness by being disciplined. I don't know about you, but when I hear those words, discipline and laziness, I just want to check out. I mean, discipline is hard work. So I heard that some of you guys get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to the gym. That is discipline. That ain't me. But if I'm going to be desiring to break chains, then I can't be a couch potato. I can't be lazy. I can't just stand back and twiddle my thumbs and wait for God to show up. Okay, God, how about that medium rare steak? It doesn't work that way. Early on in our marriage, Maria and I decided that we were going to buy our dream home. And we bought it. It was about a year before we got married, I bought this. And it was a 24-foot Airstream trailer. That's how we started our marriage. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And don't get any ideas that it was like this beautiful high-end. It wasn't anything like that. Don't even imagine it that it was retro. Ours was junk. It was junk. That's how we started out. I remember driving home from Laguna Vista, towing this trailer and praying that it wouldn't fall apart, praying that the rats would all bounce out of it before we got to the house. And some of you right now are like, you didn't seriously take Maria Mia into that trailer when you got married. Okay, I completely gutted it. I put a new floor in it. I built new cabinets. Everything was brand new. And on the inside, it looked amazing. On the outside, it was still junk. But we knew that we couldn't raise our family in a 24-foot Airstream. I had it parked behind my brother-in-law's house for $50 a month. And we didn't want to be in someone else's backyard. We asked the Lord to give us a backyard. So you know what we had to do? We had to work hard. We had to become disciplined. We had to become proactively disciplined. And here is the very first thing we did. We actually started a budget. You don't even like to say that word, right? You hear that word and everybody's like, oh, stay away from me. We started a budget. And I want you to hear me. When you take this step, this hard step of starting a budget and this hard step of breaking these chains, I want you to be very careful. Because there's going to be this temptation to find a quick fix. A payday loan or a title loan with high interest. Don't do it. You're putting chains back on. Another credit card to pay off this credit card. You're putting chains back on. A lottery ticket and then two lottery tickets and then five lottery tickets. You're putting chains back on. Quick fixes are not the answer. Hard work, starting a budget is the answer. There's also going to be this temptation to think, this defeatist temptation to think in our minds, you know what, I'm already thousands of dollars in debt. What's a bit more? If we're going to break these chains, we're going to have to do hard work. We're going to have to be disciplined, and the way to start is with a budget. Maria and I made a budget, and we didn't do it perfectly. We would deviate from it sometimes, but we always came back to it. During those early years in that little old trailer you saw, going out to eat meant eating a rotisserie hot dog from 7-Eleven, cut down the middle. And we'd get a big gulp, sit outside, and go back in for a refill. It meant that we saved every single penny, literally. We had a jug that we would fill pennies and they get full, we'd take it to the bank. Maria and I still do that. We'll walk into Walmart on the parking lot. We're walking like this, looking for money. We'll see a penny, and we're like, we do this. We say, Lord, thank you. You have blessed us. You have blessed us. Thank you. It's going to take work. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be so worth it. Maria and I are old school. We're still old school. We wrote out our budget on a piece of paper, and then we divided up our earnings in cash. We took the cash out of the bank and put them in different envelopes in our house. Okay, I probably shouldn't be telling you where I keep all our money. We're old school, and for some of you old school people in your this, even if you're young, the hip generation, this is a great way to start. Inside your program, we've printed out a budget sheet. I would challenge you over lunch today, fill it out. See where you're spending your money. Does it make sense? Are you putting yourself in red instead of black? But for some of you young hip people, computer geeks, iPhone geeks, there are apps to help you handle your money well. There's the Every Dollar app, the Credit Karma app. They may charge a little bit, but you can actually transfer funds through this app as you need them. Maria and me, our first step was a budget. That's how we became disciplined. Then we did something else. We asked ourselves some difficult questions. The Bible says a sensible person foresees danger and takes precautions. Some of the precautions that some of us need to make today is to ask ourselves some really difficult questions. If not, we'll find ourselves in the second half of that verse. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Here's a question you should ask yourself. Do I need to give something up? Do I need 4 streaming accounts? The other day, we got our credit card bill in, and I'm like, we have 4 streaming accounts. We don't even use them. Man, that was a quick $50 savings right there. Do I need that gym membership that I go to once a month? No, I can work out in my garage. It's hotter there. I'll sweat more. Do I need to go out to eat lunch every day? No, I could pack a sandwich. Or maybe we ask this question, do I have something I can sell? Do I seriously need 4 TVs? Does every child need a TV in his bedroom? Do I need to sell one of my cars or let someone take over the payment so I can pour that money into paying off my first car and then free up that money to use to pay off other debt? Here's another question you can ask. Do I have an ability or a gifting that I can leverage even if it means extra work? Some of you guys know how to play the piano, play the guitar, play the drums. Some of you are already leveraging that. You're giving lessons. What a wonderful way to earn a little extra money. I have a daughter-in-law. She's leveraging her abilities. She has a gift to make crazy delicious cheesecakes. And when she makes these creations, they're gobbled up within an hour after she posts them on social media. They're gone. They paid for a trip to California by selling cheesecakes. My daughter, Misty Dawn, and Devin, who introduced me, they are serious thrifters. I mean, you talk about saving money in their budget. They buy their clothes at the thrift store. These shoes, they're Clarks. Devin got them for me at the thrift store. I think they were $5. I love them. They're my favorite shoes, and I use them every Sunday to preach whatever I'm preaching. Is there something that I can do, I can leverage? Man, there's Facebook, there's eBay, Poshmark, Craigslist. They can all produce some incredible sales. We just have to be willing to work. And speaking of work, maybe what I need to do, maybe that is my gift. I'm able to work hard. Maybe I need to get a second job. I have a friend in our accountability group, young man, and his wife is going to college, so he's actually working a second job. He stocks shelves at night at a retail store, and it's hard work, physical work. It's tiring. I know it's discouraging. I'm praying that God will open up a second job that's a lot better than that. But he knows that this is what he has to do, and this is what he wants to do to protect his wife as she finishes college. It makes me happy to see him have that kind of attitude. We need to have difficult discussions and ask ourselves some difficult questions. And when we've done all we can do in our part, we've done the budget, we've sold what we could sell, we've invested in our own abilities, then we need to do something else. We need to ask for help. And this may be the most humbling of them all. There is wisdom in looking for godly counsel, especially in finances. The Bible says plans go wrong for lack of advice, but many advisors bring success. Who are your advisors when it comes to finances? I encourage you to start with your mom and dad. They may not have done it well, but I guarantee you they'll tell you, we did it this way, it was a big mistake, you should try this. Go to people and ask them for counsel. Maybe you reach out to the leaders of the church ministry that you're serving in. You've created a connection with them. You've seen their lives. Reach out and ask them, hey, I'm in this situation. What can I do to get out of it? Maybe it's pulling aside someone in church who's farther ahead of you in their walk with Christ, and you just ask for advice. Maybe it's pulling one of the pastors aside. It's interesting to me how oftentimes when I've humbled myself and taken that step to reach out for advice, that advice actually turned into help that sometimes even involved financial help. But it takes us taking a humble step of asking for help. Friends, listen to me. The chains of mismanaged money and debt can be broken. They need to be broken. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and you will love the other. You will be devoted to one and you will despise the other. What two masters is Jesus talking about? Well, we see it in the next line. You cannot serve God and money. Friends, please hear me. We're breaking chains today. We're breaking chains. And this is the biggest and most important chain to break. Break the chains of the love of money by choosing to serve only Jesus. When our money controls us instead of us controlling it, we may be serving the wrong master. When our emotions are intricately tied to the amount of money that's in our bank account, if it's up here, then we're up here. If it's down here, then we're emotionally drained, we're anxious, we're struggling, we're discouraged. Maybe we're serving the wrong master. You see, the core issue isn't money. It's the choice of our masters. The core issue isn't money. It's the control that money has over our hearts. Money is deeply tied to our hearts. Jesus said this just moments before he talks about these two masters. He says this, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. The core issue is that we use money. Tell me if I'm not right. We use money to fill a void that only Jesus can fill. That's the heart of this message. Me and myself will never be able to break chains the way Jesus does. I have to love him more than my addiction. I have to love him more than a spouse who's, I feel like, is pushing my buttons. I have to love him more than money. He breaks the chains. The Bible says, now unto him who's able to keep me from stumbling. He's the one who will keep me from going back to those things. Jesus breaks the chains. When we understand how much Jesus loves us, we'll love him back. He loved us so much that he gave up everything for us. He didn't have a pillow to lay his head on, the Bible tells us. He gave up his life for us. He died for us. He loves us more than anything. Will we love him back? I challenge you. If you don't know Jesus, invite him in. Experience the freedom and the chain-breaking power that's found in a relationship with him. If you're here today, I want to ask you, if you don't know Jesus personally, invite him in today. And it can simply be talking to him right now in this moment. Would you guys shut your eyes with me and let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I believe that there are people here who don't know the joy of a personal relationship with you. They haven't found the freedom that comes from knowing you. Lord, I pray that today would be a change. I pray that they would just reach out to you and say something like this. Jesus, I am in debt. I am in spiritual debt. I'm in financial debt, and I want freedom. Come in and take control of my heart. Be the master, the Lord, the Savior of my life. Come in right now, Lord Jesus. Pray those words. Come in, Jesus. Tell him that you believe he's the Son of God. Tell him that you believe that he died on the cross for you. And invite him in. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who've just taken that step right now. I thank you for bringing them into the family. Lord, I pray that they would feel the blessings from being your children. I pray that you would show them the ways to break chains. Lord, for those of us who've known you for years and continue to bind ourselves up with the love for money, I pray that you would help us to be content, that you would help us to be generous. We need you to do this, Lord. I ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.